A shameful betrayal of abuse victims who have been let down time after time. That's the damning verdict of the human rights group Amnesty after the Secretary of State, Karen Bradley, once again delayed the process of compensation for victims of institutional abuse. Karen Bradley has written to victims groups to say that instead of pushing legislation through Westminster, she wants the issue dealt with as part of the current Stormont talks. Do you indeed, Karen? Margaret McGuigan is from the support group Survivors and Victims of Institutional Abuse. Good morning to you, Margaret.
Good morning, Stephen.
How do you feel about this?
Heartbroken. I just couldn't sleep. Yet again, our hopes were built up a little when we knew the consultation analysis responses was finished and delivered to the door of Karen Bradley. And for her now to pass it back on to the head of the civil service and to the TEO, the executive office here in Northern Ireland, saying she can't deliver it. It's up to you guys. What can she do? What position is she in? She's supposed to be the Secretary of State, the only form of government here since the collapse of this government here 2.5 years ago. And she has done filth for our people in particular, and mainly the people of Northern Ireland. I would call for her to resign. This is heartbreaking. I couldn't even bring myself to tell my people on our Savia Lobby Group's Facebook page last night, as you can hear even in my voice. Stephen, I've been campaigning for 11 years. How many years does it take? I mean, you know, people across the world are having an inquiry and are all way ahead of us. In Scotland, they've even introduced an interim payment scheme for the elderly, the infirm, and they've set that up even before the end of the inquiry. They've insulted us and abused us further here in Northern Ireland when they could have got this sorted. And I'm calling out the two main parties who could have got this sorted when we call for a redress scheme to run parallel. And they kept refusing, and they made excuses after excuses. So they're as bad as Karen Bradley. 11 years campaigning, 2.5 years after the findings of Sir Anthony Hart's report and laying gathering dust. And what does Karen Bradley do? More excuses, but we know what she's doing. She's saying to herself, if we resolve this now, that will perhaps prevent the parties of using a more emotive issue to get them back together. Let's keep it raw like this, and perhaps.
So, are you suggesting?
That we're doing endless campaigning.
Are you suggesting that people who have been sexually abused are being used and manipulated for political means?
Absolutely, Stephen. Absolutely. These people, many who have died, and you know many of them have been on your show before they passed away. My own brother, who is lying there in a care home, 64 years of age, who's the mental age of a 14-year-old because of this rape, sex abuse as a young child and as a young adult, hanging on to every word, you know, wondering one day, you know, when's this form of justice going to take place for us? And, you know, I don't know how long my brother nor anybody else has to live now, but they're allowing them to pass on because of their inadequacy and of doing anything. Where is their hearts? They're heartless. They're just up there talking about the two main parties, what they can get out of it. That's it.
Well, I think there is a direct question to Karen Bradley this morning, the Secretary of State. Karen Bradley, for people who have been children who have been sexually abused and are in deep trauma, and some of whom have been suicidal for many parts of their lives, for people who have been raped, what did you come into politics for if you can do nothing to help them? And when you say, and when the UK government, your government says in a statement, there are urgent and important decisions to be now made, such as the total redress amount, the Secretary of State believes the quickest and best route to deliver for victims and survivors is to include this issue as a priority in the talks process. You believe this is the quickest route, Karen Bradley? You can't do anything for these people? You need to push it on to ministers here when you know very well that there could be a delay in reaching any agreement in Northern Ireland. Your government, Karen Bradley, says this has a time frame to make progress by the end of May. Look at those words carefully, because that last sentence from the UK government is the most important. This has a time frame, quote, to make progress by the end of May. Not to be concluded, not to reach a decision, to make progress. Can you do nothing? I say again, Karen Bradley, question to you. You've been asked many times to come on this programme. Are you seriously in politics that when someone who has been sexually abused or raped, that you can do nothing for them? You personally, in your role as Secretary of State, what a prestigious title you have. The Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, and someone sitting at home at the moment, and they have been sexually violated, and you're pushing it on to someone else. Now, let the NIO give us some type of response to this morning.
Stephen, you know wee Kate Wamsley. You did Story of a Lifetime with her, and how frail she is. This has damaged and traumatised her even more. I have to go up to her house, her wee apartment, every day to make sure she's alive. To make sure she's alive. And she's already had, as you know, Stephen, when you did the programme with her in Derry, twice she threw herself into the foil. I'm afraid of her. She won't answer my phone calls. I have to go up to her apartment and almost put her door in. And you can hear it in my voice, because I fear for these people. And wee Kate, now I'll have to go up and check if she's all right after hearing this news. It's shocking.
There is another side to this. And the other side to it is that political leaders in Northern Ireland. So Karen Bradley will fly in and out of Northern Ireland. Political leaders who live and were born here and are part of our local fabric here, they have not been able to reach an agreement so that they can deal with issues like this. They're fighting and they're disagreeing over red lines, over an Irish Language Act, over gay marriage, over all sorts of different things. And therefore, they have no ability to form a government so far, again, in Northern Ireland. And therefore, they also cannot help people who are sitting at home this morning, alone, vulnerable victims.
They need to act. They need to do it. They need to get together, make a decision today to do it for us in particular. And you know, for how many people are going to pass away now? I know the texts that I've got all morning. I couldn't sleep all morning. I couldn't sleep last night, because you're feeling the weight of this on your shoulders. You know, nobody, there's no support services out there to help our people. You know, they've neglected us and abused us all over again. But I fear for many of our people now. They're just traumatised and heartbroken. These people need to get together today, even if they have to run it parallel, as Arlene Foster said, to show that they're capable of doing something and forgetting about themselves. Get together and talk. We all have enemies, you know, but we can talk to each other and let it pass, let it go over our heads. Do it for the rest of the people and the health service and the education system. But more importantly, do it for these people, these victims of institutional abuse.
What we're talking about here, so that we can all get our head around this, all right? We're talking about here a payment of between £7,000 and £10,000. So that's the recommendation from the judge, Sir Anthony Hart. You know, for goodness sake, you might get, and he led the inquiry, you know, some people might get more for tripping over a pavement. Some people might get more for whiplash, for goodness sake. And you're talking about here a judge, Sir Anthony Hart, making a recommendation. It is not a colossal amount of money. You think about the hundreds of millions of pounds that have been spent in Northern Ireland in all different sorts of ways. And a payment of between £7,000 and £10,000, and it cannot be made happen. And the NIO, the Northern Ireland office, they have a place in Northern Ireland, don't they? Or do they? So what is the NIO actually doing for these people who literally are probably sitting at home this morning listening to this, literally trembling. Trembling because of trauma. Karen Bradley, I want you to imagine in your head, because you have taken the title of Secretary of State, not Secretary of State for Wales, Secretary of State for Northern Ireland. So picture this scene in your head, Karen Bradley. Someone who has been mutilated, sexually abused, and they are trembling with trauma, and you're saying you can do nothing for them. Is that what you came into politics for? Here's another person who was let down, can't have a voice anymore because he's dead. How many other people are going to be dead in Northern Ireland, not getting what they deserve? In January last year, Vinnie spoke on this programme to historical abuse survivor Clint Massey. Clint was speaking and begging for help from his hospital bed. He died just a matter of weeks later without ever getting any compensation. So the system saved its $7,000 there, didn't it? Mr. Massey called on elected representatives to get back around the table, implement the recommendations of the HIA inquiry and compensate the victims. It never happened. Let's have a listen to what he told Vinnie.
I want them people up there to realise that there's human beings out here who are suffering. They can't understand their attitude. Some of what they're doing sometimes is so unbelievably petty that it drives people mad. A will not agree with B. So, oh no, so then we can't go back and sit around the table then. That is wrong. You know, I'm not A and B. I'm Clint Massey. We're on the way to sorting this bit out of, you know, this issue. And then right at the 11th hour, you throw that spanner in the works. Think of all the people out there who, through no fault of their own, found themselves in horrible situations. They're finally getting to a stage in their life when they're putting that behind them. You know, they're holding their heads up. They're telling people who they are. And you're just putting that last hurdle in their way of getting a closure where they can finally sit down and say, right, it was a long struggle, but that's it. And but please, please, stop the pettiness over certain things. It's human beings here, ordinary, nice, decent people. Talk. And I believe you can do that. We don't need to be dragged through any more bickering. That doesn't help any of us.
And yet, he was dragged through more bickering. That's exactly what happened. During his death and since his death, more bickering. The Ulster Unionist Party MLA, Mike Nesbitt, with us this morning. What a disgraceful way, a disgusting way to treat victims of abuse, Mike.
I agree, Stephen, and hard to listen to Margaret this morning. And I know you're the biggest show in the country, but I would encourage everybody who's listening this morning to make sure that all their friends, their family, everybody they know who missed that this morning listens to Margaret on your catch-up services. Because that's what politics is supposed to be about, helping vulnerable people. I went into these talks, Stephen. I was determined to be positive. And the Secretary of State has stretched me to breaking point. Because in that letter, she says she thinks she believes the quickest possible way, the quickest way to bring this issue to a resolution is through the working group on the programme for government, which is one of those five strands of these talks. She's just wrong. She is wrong. She is mistaken. That group, which I sat on, met yesterday. We had a briefing on the budget. And I have to say this, Stephen, because I'm afraid there are victims and survivors of institutional abuse who are thinking that this is their year. And maybe that, you know, that they're going to buy some particularly special Christmas presents for their families come December with the money they're going to get for redress. There is not one penny in this year's budget for redress, not one red cent in the budget for 2019-20 for redress for historical institutional abuse victims. And to put it into a working group like that is to make it a pawn for a trade-off. There are huge issues in that Programme for Government working group, which is, as I say, it's just one of five working groups, which is all a negotiation. We should not be negotiating. Sir Anthony Hart, over 2 years ago, gave the victims and survivors of abuse a moral victory. He said, you are vindicated, you are right, you were abused, and you should not have been, because you were innocent young people, and you deserve redress. Well, my party leader, Robin Swan, I've spoken to him this morning, Stephen. He will contact the Secretary of State, and he will say, just get on with it, Westminster, please. And then he will contact the other four main party leaders and say, please contact the Secretary of State in similar terms.
But she's not prepared to do it, is she?
Well, if she's not prepared to do it, she should move on. She's an MP. There are 650 MPs. How often can you stand up in that House of Commons, Stephen, and say, I'm going to do this, knowing that not one of the other 649 members of Parliament will object? It's an almost unique position to be able to say, I'm going to do this. And, you know, if I was her, I would say, I am going to put through legislation to give an interim payment to all the victims and survivors of institutional abuse, and the final payment will be up to the members of the Northern Ireland Assembly. That's how to put pressure on us to get back to work. To say the final payment is going to be denied you by your MLAs unless they get back to work. If she wants to...
Should this be some type... But you know, what type of society are we? What type of Secretary of State is she? What type of politicians are all of you if we are watching victims of sexual abuse being used as a political pawn?
Well, if I...
Like, does it get any lower?
If I have let Margaret McGuigan and the survivors down, ask her. Let her say so. But as for Mrs. Bradley, when I tweet, Stephen, if I get 50,000 views, that's pretty good for me. I tweeted a few weeks ago that I have dealt in one way or another as a journalist and politician with the last 13 Secretaries of State, and she is the worst by a country mile. I had 250,000 views. Does that not tell something about the Secretary of State?
Do they care?
If you cared, you would do something. And I believe I've tried. I think I said to you before, when we were bidding for the Rugby World Cup, along with the Republic of Ireland, there was an issue that the executive wasn't meeting, and there was a deadline about underwriting financial commitments, and what the head of the civil service then did was he came round to five party leaders, and I was one at the time, and he said, will you all write a letter to say I am entitled to be in the executive, and if I was in the executive, I would sign the letter underwriting those financial commitments. So the principle is there. If the five party leaders go to Mrs. Bradley and say, do it at Westminster, there is nothing to stop her doing it.
So if victims of sexual and physical abuse are not being used as a political pawn, what other reason could there be for the Secretary of State not giving these people their money?
I have no idea.
Mike Nisbet, thank you. Good morning to you. 03030 80 55 55. The Nolan Show is going to contact the Northern Ireland office right now, and we're going to ask them a very simple question. Is there any time period, is there any deadline at which Karen Bradley will actually do something? So not these type of words of making progress. Is there any deadline at which Karen Bradley will intervene and will ensure her, nobody else, Karen Bradley will ensure that these victims get the payment that Sir Anthony Hart, a leading judge, has recommended they get? Can she do anything? And Karen Bradley's also apparently saying that she has to consider feedback from a recent public consultation. So do you know what, Karen? Consider it. When do you start considering it? When do you end up considering it? You know, I'm hesitating to say this, but I'm going to say it. You know, there is once a year a nice garden party at the NIO. I wonder how many of our politicians will go up to that NIO garden party and smile. And the sun will be shining. And smile at the Secretary of State. And smile at the whole system here. While they know that victims of sexual abuse are being treated in this way. Two different worlds, aren't there? Nice shiny day at a garden party, an NIO garden party. And a victim of sexual abuse sitting at their home, in their home, trembling, being re-traumatised by all of this. We'll let you know what the NIO say to us this morning, if there is any deadline, any date at which these people will be treated properly and with respect. I need you all to intervene today. I need you all to pass your comments on today, 03030805555. Alan's in Antrim. Morning, Alan.
Morning, Stephen. I think Karen Bradley should resign. That's all I have to say.
Why?
Why? I think it's terrible the way people are sexually abused and of that nature. People make mistakes. I know people make mistakes, but that's just terrible. Terrible the way people are have after effects after it.
Alan, thank you. Dawn in Belfast. Morning, Dawn.
Morning, Stephen. I just think listening this morning that it's unforgivable and indefensible, and we will await with you what response you get today. But I think that inquiry was, in many ways, a model inquiry, that the survivors had the courage and the dignity to give their testimony, and the outcome and the report of the inquiry was very clear. And to hear today that these survivors, all of the people, have been insulted and offended in this way, and it also insults and offends all of us who care about this. It is just so, so sad and upsetting. And as you say, it's not just about the amount of money and compensation. It's about the final recognising of their dignity and what they have gone through.
It's about the very
finalising it.
It's about the very strong suspicion of some people that victims of abuse are being used as a political pawn.
Exactly. And that's unforgivable. And to throw such a serious and sensitive situation into this round of talks, as Mike Nesbitt was saying, he put it so well, that it's unforgivable. And we should not stand for it. And we don't have to stand for it. As he said, there is a way of doing this immediately. We know there was a way of doing this yesterday. And as to the reason why it isn't being done as he says, who I can't imagine what it is. But just do it. Do it. This is just too serious and too big an issue to be swept under a carpet with so many other things that have been done here.
Dawn, thank you. Claire McKeegan, a solicitor who represents some of the victims. What will this statement from the NIO, the UK government, Karen Bradley, that she believes the quickest and best route, Claire, to deliver for victims and survivors is to include this issue as a priority in the talks process. What impact will that have on some of the victims you represent, Claire?
I have the letter. The ongoing position of the Secretary of State is unjustifiable. It's a despicable further insult to survivors who've campaigned for 10 years for justice and redress following childhood abuse at the hands of the state. These survivors are not asking for any favours. This is a debt that they are owed by our society, and it's outstanding now for 2.5 years. It must be paid. And during the recent court proceedings where the survivors took the TEO and the Secretary of State to court over this issue...
The Executive Office,
not once was it put forward that at the end of the consultation process that the Secretary of State would buckle and yet again do nothing. And I have lost clients to suicide. I represented Clint Massey, and every day you hear the same daily suffering from these people, and it's profound. There's no mental health services. They were promised a care package as part of this redress package, and these people need and deserve this care package. And to be constantly at every single turn let down in this way is unconscionable. It's very difficult to have to present these kinds of letters that she would write to clients and to explain it and to try and outline for them timelines when the goalposts move every week. It is purely a political decision. It has to be.
Well, she says she has to take into account the public consultation.
The public consultation is done. She has the results of it. It doesn't take months and months, and it doesn't take working groups to work out the responses to the consultation. And let's not forget, Sir Anthony Hart did a consultation during his report. These people have been through years of public hearings before an inquiry. They were up and down to Banbridge, given evidence, and going through the trauma of witness statements. And you have to ask, what was it all for? When 2.5 years on, they're still having to go with their begging bowl to the government. And that's how it feels for them, and that's what I hear day in, day out. And in no other part of the UK would you find a situation like this, where the government can change the law to avoid doing something, where survivors and victims are vindicated in a 10-volume public inquiry report, and nothing happens thereafter. And to hear then from Mike Nesbitt saying that there's not a penny in the budget for redress, it just shows that this is disingenuous yet again, that the letter is to try and yet again kick the matter down the road. And I've dealt with three Secretary of States on the issue of redress during the Hart report, and every single one of them has talked about their hopes and aspirations that this would be dealt with very quickly. But we can see that has not been the case, and it's utterly despicable.
You talk about losing some of your clients to suicide. Mm-hmm. Is the way this is being dealt with by the Secretary of State risking people's lives?
I think that the fact that people have been denied, it was outlined in Sir Anthony Hart's report that these people need the care package that he has recommended. He's recommended a bespoke care package which would deal with the mental health needs that people who have suffered childhood institutional abuse require. And that has not been delivered. So every day that ask and that recommendation goes undelivered, people are suffering further and unnecessarily. It's not always the issue of monetary compensation that I hear about, quite the opposite. More often people come in looking for counsel and the services are not there. People go to their GPs every day, and this is another political issue, because every day that they go to their GP and there's waiting lists, health services not being funded. But this was money that was supposed to be ring-fenced to sort out and prioritise the needs of survivors. And if you look and compare the situation here with how it has been dealt with in the South, yet again, the people of Northern Ireland have been very badly let down.
Margaret McGookin, who is from the support group Survivors and Victims of Institutional Abuse, has called on the Secretary of State to go, to resign. How much confidence do you think the victims who you represent, Claire, have in Karen Bradley?
I don't believe that it would be possible for them to have confidence in the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, given how the issue of redress has been handled. The court proceedings, there was a judicial review that was before the court some weeks ago. That's currently under appeal. The survivors are taking that issue to the Court of Appeal now because they're still firmly of the view that there can't be a situation in Northern Ireland where no one is responsible for taking decisions. If you can you imagine in Westminster government that the Parliament doesn't sit for 2.5 years and that no decisions are made, but somehow that is tolerated? It wouldn't happen anywhere else, but somehow in Northern Ireland this situation is tolerated, and issues such as redress and many other issues have been utterly ignored for 2.5 years. People with needs, they're not being met. We as a society are not being looked after. So that matter's under appeal as the people who have been through the inquiry and been through systemic institutional abuse in childhood are entitled to redress. And they need it urgently.
Doesn't look like they're going to get it urgently. Looks like they're going to get pushed from pillar to post. Claire, thank you. Morning to you.